You know, Derek, it could be a very interesting podcast.
I saw something about that on Twitter earlier, but is there anything else you had in mind?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm assuming you're referring to what NHL History Girl tweeted out a little bit earlier that said, you know, on today's date in 1979, Billy Smith recorded the first goal by a goaltender for the New York Long Islanders. One of my favorite hockey players and a great all-around guy. Great with a stick.
It's a fun fact, Mike. I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
What the hell does that have to do with us and this podcast?
Nothing. I just thought it was interesting.
Okay, you're right.
Other things that don't have anything to do with the podcast, me falling off a ladder. But I get the feeling it may affect tonight's podcast.
You didn't go like full Tim the Toolman Taylor or Clark Griswold or anything? You didn't
fall? No. I was on a stepladder, Derek, getting down Christmas presents and took about a 4-foot fall, landed on my left knee. Doctor says while I may walk again, he highly suggested I take pain medication to alleviate the pain. And we reached out to our loyal listeners and loyal Twitter followers about how I should do this podcast tonight. So as this podcast is going on, the Carolina Hurricanes are playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, currently 1-1, middle of the first period. Josh Anderson for the Columbus Blue Jackets has scored a goal and also went face first into the boards. Noah Hanifin has tied it up, and looks like a good Metropolitan Division tilt. I was ready to do this whole podcast, you know, kind of one leg, angry, you know, kind of in pain, and just letting all of my hate fly. And I said, you know, maybe we should reach out to Twitter and see what Twitter says. And Derek, what did the folks of Twitter say?
The folks of Twitter want you to take advantage of modern medicine, Mike. They don't want you to
They want me to have an MRI on the air?
I think that'd be less enthralling or thrilling for everybody. So
probably.
So Mike, before I do that, let's tell folks what's going to be on the show tonight, and then we'll talk about the how.
I think that's a great idea.
So on tonight's show, we have a great guest. We have Shane Willis from Fox Sports Carolina.
At Twitterless Shane over on the Twitters.
Yeah, don't tweet him. He will not see it. I guarantee you that. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the previous home games. We're going to talk about the road trip coming up. We're going to talk about your cheat mail questions. We're going to review a delicious beer from Bottle Mix. And I think that's what we got tonight. So, Mike, I need you to do me a favor.
Okay.
Can you pop that Vicodin?
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now, back to Derek and Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And Derek, thanks you for being patient. And since I popped that Vicodin, I got a work call come in and been on the phone for the last 37 minutes. So what we thought was going to be a slow descent into madness as part of Drugged Up Mike podcast, or as we like to refer to this, the Brett Favre edition of the Cheaters.
No, whoa. We do not. You do.
Well, I do. Jen Sturger, can't wait to, you know.
No, please don't text me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to avoid my text for the next few hours, Derek. But no, thank you guys for listening to this. What should be a very interesting version of the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
We'll see.
Still, at least before this podcast, a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. Glug, glug, glug. Also, this podcast brought to you by our good friends over at Bottle Mix. Stick around until the end of the podcast for the Bottle Mix beer review. Newsflash, I will not be doing the Bottle Mix beer review after having had, you know, said pain relievers.
It's also a sour.
Ooh, no, God, no. Mm. No disrespect against the folks out there who may like or enjoy sours, but... Oh,
it's
God,
not
no.
It's not your speed.
It is not my speed. So, Derek, what folks come to this podcast for? Quick live in-game update. How are we looking in Columbus?
Not so great. 2-1, bad guys.
I saw Zach Rowinski scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
His name's fun to say.
He had to keep pace with Noah freaking Hanifin for his goal.
Yes.
You know, the two... two of the three top 10 2015 defensemen.
Or as we like to call it, the Werifin game.
Hmm.
Hmm. Hmm. or maybe nobody does. I don't know. So yeah, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, Derek, Shane Willis is going to be on with us a little bit later. We've got the Thanksgiving series of games to talk about, 2-2 around the Thanksgiving holiday for that 4-game home stretch, and then the big West Coast road swing that will include Section 328 hits the road, and we will be taking the Section 328 worldwide headquarters van, driving it across this country over the border. Hopefully you're able to drive it back over the border to catch the Carolina Hurricanes taking on the Vancouver Canuck.
Should be a good time for you and the missus.
Yes. And the child, and the Carolina Hurricanes, who are going to go up there and win. But Derek, I was unable to watch the games right there at Thanksgiving. I fortunately did not see the Toronto Maple Leafs game.
That one wasn't the bad one. The bad one was the one against the Rangers. That was the Thanksgiving Eve one.
I have gone full Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
No, you were there for the Rangers game.
No, Derek. Sunshine. I don't know if you've seen the movie. Jim Carrey should have won an Oscar for this movie, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And I do not recall a Rangers game.
Fair enough. Then let's not even talk about it. Don't want to.
We play the Rangers on Thursday. I think it's our first or second game with them against them this season. Hopefully, it's good.
But the game against the Leafs on Friday was not a bad game. It was just we didn't win. Cam Ward let in some pretty soft goals. They put Scott Darling in, and Scott Darling got the loss for that game. So, oof. You know,
yeah. If I had not completely erased that Rangers game, I might be able to talk about a certain tip off of a glove fluke goal that may have been the beginning of the end of that game. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Rangers game. I love Scott Darling. I unabashedly support him. I think his story is great. I think he is a phenomenal guy. I think he is a great goaltender and the goaltender of the future for the Carolina Hurricanes.
It sounds like there's a butt coming.
But.
Yay.
Bill Peters should have pulled him after the first period. He needed to send a message not to Scott Darling, but to that defense that was playing, let's refer to it. How can we refer to this? Shit-tastic? Is that a term we can use on this podcast? Is that okay? Still part of the
Channel
8 podcast network?
I'll allow it.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
I will not argue that he should have been pulled for the sake of the team, because obviously that second goal that you talked about that tipped in off his glove.
Don't remember.
Was one of the worst goals I've ever seen in person. And we heard from a friend who has played net before that sometimes when you're looking up, it's very, very easy to lose sight of a puck between the combination of bright lights and the black that is up in the rafters. Cool. I've never seen that in person, and I've seen a lot of pucks lobbed in towards a netminder. The other side of that is, I forget if it was the first goal or the third goal, or maybe both. Yes, poor rebound control from Darling on that. But that's going to happen sometimes. And there was a defenseman, I think it was Hanifin on one, who just flat out didn't clear his guy from the front of the net. Oh, the first one was when Brett Pesce, I think, went for a triple. I don't know if it was a toe loop or an axle or a jump.
Sal Cal.
Sal Cal's a good one.
Thank you.
It was not good at hockey.
No.
Ooh, he wasn't good at all.
Yeah, so, no, Brett Pesce's had a rough couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Noah Hanifin, at least for a moment in the Nashville game, forgot that you should play the body and not the puck. And
in the Nashville game?
Yes, when he became Victor Arvidsson. If you have never seen Noah Hanifin naked, allow me to encourage you to go back and watch the Victor Arvidsson goal scored against us. On what was it, Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Because if you have ever wanted to see a naked Hanifin,
I'm good.
That was it. Just stripped down to his skivvies and his pride. And not much of either was left.
Ooh. Ooh.
Just a T-bar and nothing. This thing's going to be kicking in, Derek. This is going to be a good episode.
I genuinely have nothing for it.
I know. But the Nashville game was fun. That was a good back and forth. The Nashville game was just another indication that the National Hockey League made a huge, horrible mistake when they did not put the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators in the same division, because the game got chippy. PK Subban and Jeff Skinner became even worse friends. It was just a lot of fun. It was back and forth, and yes, I would have enjoyed, you know, winning that game 5-2 like we potentially could have, but to see Turbo score that goal, to watch Nordstrom do what he did on the kill in overtime was just a thing of beauty. Kevin Adams, like Craig Adams, like Adams brothers, like. You said you were going to be able to keep this thing on the rails.
I'm just enjoying the ride, Mike, and I don't know when you're stopping a sentence, really the fun part for me.
This isn't stopping.
No, I'm fine with that. But you mentioned with Nashville, too, the other fun thing is, like, I don't hate a shootout win when it comes against a team that's not in our same conference.
Yeah.
Like, giving that extra point truly doesn't matter against Nashville, and I watched that Turbo goal at least 5 or 6 times.
Oh, on a loop.
Like, I think Jacob Slavin wants to understand how to backhand roof it that well.
That was just delicious. And the Aho goal was just like, yep, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm coming, and it's going right past you.
Yeah.
Looked good. Felt good.
Just waiting for the spot. It was just very little movement, and you've shifted 1 pound of your weight to the left. I'm going right.
Yeah, let me put this directly over your pad, underneath your arm, and into the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
So on a 4-game homestand, 2-2, which I think we would all agree not good enough. We had the chance.
But Chuck Woolery likes it.
We had a chance to go. Ooh, good dating game reference.
Thank you, sir.
We will be back in 2-2. Also, Chuck Woolery, very tall. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, had hair.
Yeah, no, you know, Chuck Woolery was massive. He was like 6'10". He was like the tallest
dude. Really?
Yeah, he was like the tallest dude on TV for a long time.
Was Chuck Woolery actually Chuck Nevitt?
I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
2-2, not as good as we had wanted. 2-1-1, and had we gotten a point out of that Toronto game, I think we are ecstatic. And I think that says a lot about where we're at as a fan base. The difference of 1 point in a 4-game home swing is just
Chuck Woolery's 6'2", by the way.
Chuck Woolery was 6'14".
He's not Bill Brasky. Did I ever tell you about a host called Chuck Woolery?
He was massive.
Best damn salesman in the office.
First place, steak knives. Or second place, steak knives. Third place, you're fired, Derek. You know what? We could continue on down this path of previous games, but I think we need to look forward.
I think we do.
I think we need to look at the road trip that's coming up, and rather than us ramble on about it, which I'm sure we'll do after our fine guest, let's go to tonight's guest.
And Derek, we welcome back one of our favorite all-time guests. On Twitter, you can find him at TwitterLeShane, but more often than not, you can find him on the concourse of the PNC Arena before your Carolina Hurricanes home games as part of the Fox Sports Carolina's pregame crew, sitting next to Mike Maniscalco, improving the beauty quotient of that desk by nearly 100%.
I say at least, actually.
Best dressed man in all of Garner. He is Shane Willis. Shane, welcome back to the Cheaters Never Win podcast. How are you, sir?
I am great. I appreciate that, gentlemen. It's always good to be on the show, talk a little hockey. The season is rolling along, and looking forward to another strong road trip, as we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, we've got the road trip, but beforehand, this is going to be the first podcast since the Thanksgiving break, and we wanted to ask, kind of your opinion, not only as an analyst, but as a former player. You know, there's this narrative or fake deadline, call it what you will, about teams need to be in the playoffs or in the playoff hunt at Thanksgiving, or they're already out of the playoffs and the rest of the season should just be written off. Carolina Hurricanes not in the playoffs as we broke bread and ate turkey last week. So is that something players, coaches, anybody inside a real organization actually pays attention to?
I don't think so. I would say maybe some coaches may peek at that, but I think it's such a myth. I mean, with 60 games to go in a season and the way you look at the standings right now, how things are so tight, and no one's really running away with anything. I just think to follow along those guidelines, I think, would be a stretch, especially this season. You may look at it if you're one of the bottom two teams that's really struggling in a situation, maybe like Arizona, maybe you could kind of figure, well, there goes our chances. But to me, everything is still in play for basically every team right now in the National Hockey League. So I'm not sure when that started. As a player, you don't really look at it. I think you come to the rink every day thinking, we still got a shot. We can put 4, 5, 6 games together and make a run at this thing. So I don't think any player ever believes it until that magic number is hit, you're officially eliminated from the playoff race.
Which, you know, again, hopefully won't be at all this year, but it's usually not until sometime in mid to late March or February if you're just a truly horrible team. One of the things this season that you mentioned nobody's really pulling away is the Metropolitan Division just the division of death? Because if you look at the divisional standings, the Canes are, I think, only ahead of the Flyers. If you look at the conference, we're ahead of like five or six teams. So is the Metro just that tough this year?
Yeah, I think it started showing that last season to be, you know, arguably the best division in the National Hockey League. Obviously, everyone talks about that Central Division with Chicago and St. Louis, which is obviously very good as well. But right now, the Metro is so deep, all the teams playing so very well. And the Metro is not going to get decided early at all. I think you're going to see every team battle right to the end. There's teams that are going to make moves at the deadline. Some teams are going to battle to hang around. But, you know, this is just another year. When you look at those standings, right now I think it's easy to predict that five teams from the Metro are going to get in the playoffs. It's going to be the top three, and then two Metro teams are going to get those wild card spots.
Well, and Shane, it's kind of a critical week for the Carolina Hurricanes because as we speak right now, 7:07 on Tuesday evening, so puck is just preparing to drop in Columbus. So this is your chance to make a prediction on the Columbus game and then not have anybody hear about it until well after the game. So
I'd really look like a hero. I'd buy a lot of lottery ticket tomorrow if I hit this score right.
Exactly.
I left the office today. You know, a lot of the guys downstairs, you know, we always come in our office making predictions. How do you feel about tonight? How do you feel good? I feel good about this game in Columbus tonight because of how well we played there over the past couple seasons. Had a great record against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So as I left today, I threw out a 3-2 win for the Hurricanes, keeping it close. No OT, no shootout. Hurricanes win 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2 would be quite welcome. I'm sure Scott Darling would be very happy to get three goals, but I know we as fans would love to not have this turn into a three-point contest.
Right.
So we're looking at this really long road trip. We're going to be back Saturday night to play Florida, but Columbus tonight, New York in a revenge game later this week, then a six-game road trip out west, Shane. So eight of the next nine games on the road in somewhat of a, people would say, hashtag pivotal. You'd understand that if you were on Twitter. time. How does a player go about preparing himself for such a long, grueling road trip in what is such a, you know, that part of the season that's becoming just a daily grind?
Yeah, we usually talk about this. We usually have this conversation in October when we know the state fair is coming to town. But this year is December, I think, for a player. I mean, the main thing you have to do is do your laundry. I mean, it's going to be a long one. You got to have supplies packed and be prepared to be out there. It's not like you're flying back home to reload the suitcase. It's going to be a long one. You got to have the supplies ready to go. You got to have the suits clean, a couple extra ties. Everyone tries to pack light, but the weather obviously in California is a little bit nicer, so you can pack a little bit lighter that way. But supplies are number one on the list for me. You got to be prepared to go on the road. Secondly, to me, it goes back to what you're doing away from the rink. I know we talked about Bill Burnison one time on the show on how he monitors ice time and what these guys are doing in practice. But I think what they're doing away right now as far as refueling their bodies, the rest they're getting, all of those things come into play, maybe not early in the road trip, but as we go into Vegas and then make that grueling trek back across the country to Buffalo for one more time, that's when this stuff starts coming into play. And I think preparing your body and doing everything you can to get off to a good start on this trip is going to be really key.
And we've got a lot of young guys on this team, so a lot of single guys. But in your experience, was there any difference in how these kind of road trips would affect the younger single guys versus maybe the older married guys that are missing their wife and possibly children?
No, I think the one thing is when you go out is when I talk about rest is how you – comfortable can you adapt to being in a hotel room? You're not in your own bed. The time zones are different. You're 3 hours different trying to adapt to your body. So everyone kind of adapts better. As a young guy going in there, we always kind of, we just stayed the same. Everything was the same for us. The older married guys, the one thing about the road trip that they took advantage was being able to sleep all the time. they didn't have to get up and do you know, the husband duty of it. Now you're on duty with the kids. Can you run to school? Can you do this? So they really took advantage of being able to sleep while they're out on road trips, which is good for them and going to be key on this road trip too. But I think the one thing we forget about on this road trip is being able to come together as a group and win gritty style games, just greasy. I don't think you're going out there to try and impress anybody. You can go into buildings and play some ugly hockey that people are like, that is so boring to watch. What are they doing? All you care about is 2 points at this stage of the game and get on the airplane and get out of town. So I think we've had success before in California. Vancouver's always been a tough one. I'm glad we're going there to start the trip. It's always been a tough place to play. They're playing very well right now. A key to this road trip, I think, as well, is getting off to a good start. So I think the first game in Vancouver can really set the tone after following up this big week of games in the Metro Division.
Getting a little more player specific here, I'm not going to have you run down certain guys and who's playing great, who's not playing great, but one guy that keeps coming up among Canes fans of we'd like to see more out of him this season is Justin Faulk. What's going on with his game, and is there anything you see that's like, oh, this is what he's missing from the Faulk we've seen the previous season or two?
No, I think for me, when I watch Justin play, the one thing that I'm looking for is something a little bit more. He's kind of just been status quo, minus, you know, the shots going in for him on the power play like they were a few seasons ago where he was unloading the big shot. He's still getting those opportunities on the power play and things like that. But I think with his new role in the leadership area, being one of the co-captains, I was hoping to see just a little bit more, I don't know what I'd call it, maybe just that jump or that spunk in his game. And it's just kind of been the same for me. And I think maybe that's where we get into categorizing guys. You know, he's another year older, but now he's that co-captain. Where is that extra step up that we kind of expected? Is he playing bad? No, I don't think so. He's playing a steady style game back there with a young defensive core. But I think that's the one thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for that next step ahead for Justin Faulk and making that move. And, you know, a road trip like this could be a place where he can do that as an older guy in a leadership role, really stepping out and taking the reins on a trip like this.
Yeah, I absolutely agreed. And Justin is the key to getting that power play moving. And Shane, we hate to break the news to you, but folks listen to this podcast the day after a game for live in-game updates. And real quick, live in-game update from Columbus. Josh Anderson with the twisted wrister by Scott Darling. Minute 9 seconds into the period, Blue Jackets 1, Hurricanes nothing.
Well, nothing to worry about. I said they would get 2.
Exactly.
So they can have one early.
Yeah,
let them
have one early. Scotty will get settled in, and we'll kind of figure that. Yeah. And we mentioned Scott, and Scott's been, we're now, 18 games into his Carolina Hurricanes career, and fans have been really hot and cold on Scott Darling's play. Some nights he is big, and he's so different than what we've had from Cam Ward in years past. Really agile, really quick on his feet, but then there's some nights where it's just like, you know, fluke goal, leaky five hole and you know, kind of, oh no, here we go again. What's your take on Scott Darling's start for his Carolina Hurricanes career, and what does he need to do to not only improve but maybe kind of cement himself in the hearts and minds of the Hurricanes faithful?
I think I'm going to use a word that we use a lot on the show the past few weeks with some of these offensive guys, and I think it's the word of confidence, and it comes in so big even with a goaltender. I think Scott has struggled at times. And to me, it's not that he's struggling to make the saves. I think he's struggling to control the puck after he makes the save. I think he's made some key saves, but things have really bounced off him, whether it be a rebound goal and he's scrambling to make that next save. I'd love to see a game where he's just structurally sound and everything he's just swallowing up. As a big guy, you know he's going to make that first save, but if he can start absorbing it and feeling more comfortable with that glove and blocker, holding on to those pucks, I think gives him that confidence going forward. And then just like a goal scorer, I think once he puts 1, 2, 3, just like this entire team, once they put a stretch together like that, the rest of everything else goes away. And I think that's the one thing this team has missed early in the season, is putting together a stretch. The biggest win stretch we've had is 2 games, and you guys know that. And I think it takes a little bit more for a team to have a little bit more of a swagger and that confidence of, you know, it's going to go right when you hit the ice. Every time we go out there now, there's still a little bit of doubt in the back of the mind. And as soon as one of those pucks bounces off, Scott Darling, or he gets a goal scored on him early like it is tonight, it's back into that clench mode and the mind starts running of, is this, here we go again? Am I settled in? Where's my angles at? And the questions start flowing. So I think it's a confidence thing, but I think a game where he makes it look easy would really help him in that area.
So Shane, we've asked you a lot of Hurricanes questions. That's your Fox Sports broadcaster hat. Want to ask you to put on your Carolina Hurricanes youth hockey guru hat. And we got a question here from our buddy Matt Peterson, and he's probably looking down the road for his son to play some local youth hockey and wondering what advice you would have for parents in choosing a local youth hockey program.
Okay. Number one, you want to pick a program that's USA Hockey focused and looking at how to best utilize the American development model. I think USA Hockey has put a ton of money into research and designing programs that fit kids at certain ages. Second thing I think you want to look at is the coaching staff. Who's coaching your son or daughter, and are they there in the best interest of the entire team of trying to make them a better player? It's not all about winning at youth sports. I think it's about developing a player at certain ages. So I think those are the biggest things for me. Obviously, a lot of people also have to look at cost and travel at certain ages. But my thing, I go back to USA Hockey all the time. They set a structure in place. And if you can find a program that utilizes them the most and follows along their guidelines, I think there's only a recipe for success in that and doing the right things.
Well, and Shane, I know you guys had a lot of success going into this season again with the kind of the fresh start program that you guys did. What's been the uptake on the program the Carolina Hurricanes have done in terms of outfitting kids? Are you seeing a lot of kids who are getting that discounted gear and getting those free lessons really starting to stick into the program? And is it having the effects that the Hurricanes and the NHL had hoped on youth hockey in the market?
Yes, I can say it's been a huge benefit for this market here in this place. We're seeing 2 years ago when the program started, we had 250 kids take the program, and then this year we had 646 kids do the program.
Ooh,
nice. So we look back at our numbers right now. So obviously in the fall, we did in the summer, and then, you know, fall baseball, and there's some soccer sports, so you lose some kids to those. But we're going to recheck our numbers again in January to see where these kids are at. But our first look, which was earlier in November, was we had about a 39% to 40% retention rate where kids were still involved in some form, whether it be in another learning hockey program or right into the local rec program. So that retention rate is huge for the bottom of our pyramid of the youngest groups of kids at 5, 6, and 7 year olds. So the program's been awesome. We're looking to order equipment already right now for next summer again. So looking to get as many of these kids involved and more kids playing the sport in this area.
All right, Jane, this is the last question I have for you. I think Mike may have one more in the holster. A lot of former Carolina Hurricanes are behind a desk wearing a fancy suit now. Of all the guys who have played here for the Canes and are now in a broadcasting role, who's your favorite and why is it Kevin Weeks?
Ugh. It's not Kevin Weeks. That's not my pick. You try to put words in my mouth there. I can't pick the guy that I was traded for. I think my pick, and he's very good at it. If you meet him, he's a very classy, but he's a funny guy. But he knows his stuff on the broadcast side is Brett Hedekin. I think he's done an outstanding job in learning the role when he first started. Out in San Jose and now doing it more full time. I think Brett does a great job. Also, we don't see him a lot or hear him a lot. The things I see on him on NHL Network or when I catch a game where the Sharks are playing, I think he does an awesome job.
Yeah, we are huge fans of Brett Hedekin behind these microphones. Also, little known fact, Brett Hedekin might quite possibly be the best Michael Jackson impersonator in Carolina Hurricanes player history. But that's,
wow, a little side tidbit there.
That's a side. That's another.
You can only find that here on this. You can only find that on this podcast.
Yeah, that's another story for another day, Shano. Okay, and last question we had come in from our loyal Twitter listeners that, you know, you would know about because, you know, Twitterless Shane. We're not bitter at all, Shane. No, not at all. We need more Shane.
I don't think I can get it on my flip phone.
For some reason, it doesn't work in Saskatchewan yet. Okay, so Shane, what is the most elaborate locker room prank you have seen in your National Hockey League playing career? You don't have to name names if you're not comfortable, but that one came in. What's the most elaborate locker room prank you've seen pulled off?
Does it have to be in the National Hockey League?
No. In your hockey career.
Okay, in my hockey career, because I didn't see, there wasn't a lot of stuff, you know, the little stuff in the National Hockey League, but everyone, you know.
Range Rover full of peanuts.
Having a good time. I'm going to go back to my junior days and talk about Saskatchewan, beautiful Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. It started with a couple players thinking it would be funny to put an ad in the newspaper for a pretty much brand new truck that didn't exist for a very low price and putting our assistant coach's phone number on it. Then also following up saying, I work all day long. Please don't call till after 10 p.m. at night. So the phone call started, and our assistant coach was mad, like, daily, talking about it in the locker room, and we're all giggling, knowing what's going on. But he finally finds out what's happened, and he realizes which two players had done it. And he and our other assistant coach, who was a local police officer, thought, we're going to get them back. So we don't know anything that's going on. We go up for practice one day, and we come in, and they finally call out the players. They figured out what happened. And so they're laughing. They're like, yeah, we got you. And they're like, oh, really? Well, don't worry about that. And these two guys start taking off their equipment. And everyone knows we wear shorts or pants and T-shirts underneath our hockey equipment. And what they had done before practice, they went into their laundry bags, and the local police officer had brought in the powder they put in money. So if it gets stolen from a bank, it turns green. They dumped all this powder in their laundry. So as these guys start getting undressed, their skin is absolutely stained green from all their sweat from practice. I mean, these guys look green for 2 to 3 days the rest of the week trying to shower this stuff off. So I give credit to the coaching staff. It was an outstanding prank that I don't know if it could be topped. It was one of the best I've ever seen.
That is phenomenal. And that's the only type of thing you're going to get from Shane Willis and you know, junior hockey out of Saskatchewan, or maybe Jeff Merrick, because, you know, Jeff Merrick knows everything.
It's cold up there. It's cold up there. There's not much going on.
Oh, it's rough. Hey, Shane, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your evening to talk with us and Caniac Nation here. As always, folks, you can catch him over at the Fox Sports Carolina's pregame desk. You can follow Fox Sports Carolina's at Canes on FSCR. And one of these days, you'll be able to follow Shane after we do, maybe after this podcast, Eric, we'll start a GoFundMe to get Shane out of his current flip phone and maybe get him into a BlackBerry.
Ooh, a BlackBerry.
Like a BlackBerry 9300, something like that.
I guess if Shane has a flip phone, you can't advance too much in one leap. It's got to be baby steps.
Right, you got to go from 1997 to 2001. So
I think the class that teaches me how to use Twitter would cost more money than the phone.
Oh, Mike Maniscalco can teach you how to use Twitter, because that man, sir, knows how to use the Twitters. Shane, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time.
You guys enjoy the 3-2 win tonight, and everyone cheer tomorrow when you listen to it.
Well, you know what? We are absolutely going to enjoy that 3-2 win. Enjoy that big road swing, and look forward to seeing you back on the broadcast when the boys are back in town. Take care, Shane.
All right, Jen, thanks.
Great to have Shane Willis on. And also, great ideas for the pranks to be held at the Section 328 Worldwide Headquartered Christmas Party this year. Can't wait to...
I do not want to be green for, like, several days afterwards.
I just want to say good luck. We're all counting on you. Your only hope. Derek, do you think if I had to prank one person on the Section 328 team, who am I pranking?
Tom.
No, I love Tom.
Right, you prank the ones you love.
No, I don't prank Tom.
Hmm.
We prank JC, because not only is he full of sunshine, he's also full of I work retail during the holiday season rage.
Mm-hmm.
And we could take him from being, you know, like, I've got an evening off, let's get really hammered, let's be hugging and loving everybody, to the fact of he turns into the actual Hulk. He has a drama degree from Wake Forest University.
But here's the thing, though. He may have some really creative stuff to get back at you with from that theater nerd background.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I don't mind a good prank being played back, as long as it's done timely and with class. And I think if I think about J.C. Bobbitt, I think there's a man who's not only timely, but classy.
Okay.
So there you go. Not a cheat mail question, but I ask it and I enjoyed it. So What do you think about the road trip, Derek? What does this Carolina Hurricanes team need to do? Let's go ahead and throw in all eight games. Take the Florida game out of the middle.
It's eight.
Two on the road, one back home, six on the road, including all three California teams and the Vegas Golden Knights, which we were assuming was a gimme. Guess what? It's not.
And that trip to Buffalo is against a bad team, but at the tail end of it, and then you have to cross the country to get there. That's not going to be good.
Woof.
So I would just do those six games. Mike, I say...
Eight games.
No, I just wanted to do those six. Okay, fine. All eight games, we are going to go 3-4-1.
3-4-1 for a grand total of 7 points. I said 3-3-2 for a grand total of 8 points.
Neither is great.
Neither is great, but we also have the ability of knowing that the Carolina Hurricanes are still down 2-1 in the second period to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm. And Shane, now we can talk about it. Shane said we're going to win 3-2. So is Columbus having two goals? Not yet a problem.
No, not yet a problem. Carolina Hurricanes score two in the third, win 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
I am perfectly happy with that. And then I will buy a lottery ticket tomorrow that is 25-25, which for those who don't know was Shane Willis's number.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun. Here's what worries me. I think we go to Vancouver. I think we get a good start in Vancouver. But then it's the time. It's so many games in such a short period of time. I want to say it's what? Anaheim, LA, Vegas, or one, two of the California teams plus Vegas is three games in four nights.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, particularly on our West Coast road swing.
And LA and Anaheim... LA's playing well this year, Anaheim less so, but those are some big boys out there.
Yeah, yeah, physical teams, teams that can really lay the body, who are going to wear on you, particularly when that third game in four nights is against the Vegas Golden Knights in their home rink, and they have been playing lights out.
But a fun fact about Vegas, they are currently on their 14th different starting goaltender this season.
And still leading the Pacific Division. At 15-6-1, Derek. They're 22 games
in.
Are
they leading the division?
Leading the Pacific Division with 31 points in 22 games. The Vegas Golden Knights would be near the top of the division of death.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, which, you know, you're apt to do, Mr. Woolery.
I'm trying. Let's see here.
Live in-game standing updates.
Ooh, you are correct, sir. Nailed it. Because last time I checked, it was L.A., but Vegas has two games in hand on L.A. and 2 points ahead of L.A.
Yeah, get some.
Jeebus.
Yeah. So, definitely got to figure out what's going on there. You know, Derek Englund playing lights out.
I don't...
Future Hall of Famer and Las Vegas native, Derek Englund?
I understand none of why they are so good.
I don't know whether those words came even out of my mouth together, like in that order.
Hmm. It happens.
All-star, future Hall of Famer... Vegas, Golden Knight, Derek Englund. You could mix up those words and pull them out of a hat randomly, and they would make more sense than what I just said.
Let's open up the phone lines. Who's going to be the first Golden Knight in the Hall of Fame? Rob from Carson City, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Rob from Carson City. Am I on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Derek Englund.
All right.
He's from Vegas, and he should be the first guy to go in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rob. What part of the country do you think Carson City's in, Mike?
I don't know.
Maybe he's a transplant?
Yeah, absolutely.
From Long Island and Boston Omaha?
Nobody lives in Carson City. You moved to Carson City. Everybody in Carson City was shot dead by Deadeye Dick. You know? Right?
I think so.
This is what happens when you have the Brett Favre podcast. Derek, where are we going from here? Keep this thing on the rails. Do we need to go to cheat mail? Do we want to... Actually, you know what? I have an idea.
Okay.
As I was sitting there over Thanksgiving dinner...
So you seem to have a little something, but I didn't want to...
As I was sitting there over Thanksgiving dinner and over the accompanying days, I was thinking about the Carolina Hurricanes and kind of the fragility of the fan base and really kind of... our relationship with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
So Derek, I'm going to take a little sip of water here.
That's not water. Or if it is, you need new water.
I need a Connecticut water filter system, potentially. But here's what I think. I was thinking about this.
By the way, Mike, I just come over for the Connecticut water. It's not to see you.
Good. Good. I'll get back to college.
And hold my backpack, Mike.
Yeah, fine. I'll hold up for, you know, a solid C minus average. The Carolina Hurricanes. If let me ask you this question, Derek. I've got this. Yes, I've got this one played out of my head. Of all the people who show up at the stereotypical Thanksgiving Day meal table,
okay,
which relative are the Carolina Hurricanes?
So, like, the Canes as an entire organization is represented by one person at the table,
yes.
Not like which Hurricane is which.
No,
person.
No, no. The Canes organization is represented by one person at the table.
Oh, the bitter divorcee?
Close.
Okay.
No. The Carolina Hurricanes are your younger brother's hot girlfriend from college.
Explain.
So you're sitting there and it's Thanksgiving and you're eating and you get introduced and you're like, oh, they seem nice. And you have a beer or two and, you know, a couple of glasses of wine with dinner and you're just like, man. It's a really good looking team over there. You know, they're young. They got some speed. I like the way they look on the ice. You know, they've got flow. You know, they're kind of complex. And then she takes another couple sips of wine and goes absolutely batshit haywire. And you're like, holy shit, she's crazy. I am so glad I do not have to put up with her night in and night out. And then you're washing the dishes after dinner and she comes in and she offers to wash the dishes and she kind of moseys up beside you and you're like, man, she smells really good. And you know it's wrong, right? And you know it's wrong, but you're just like, I think I really like this girl, but I shouldn't. I'm going to get my heart broke. Other people are going to get hurt. My family is going to suffer for this.
Not to mention your brother's dating her.
Right, right. And it's so wrong, but it just feels so right in the moment, Derek. That is what it's like to be a Carolina Hurricanes fan because you know it's going to end up in disaster. But when it's great, like Nashville in overtime the other night, my God, it's just so good and we could be so beautiful together. But when the Rangers come to town and she has had that fifth glass of wine and she no longer has the makeup on, it's the day after Thanksgiving and she's yelling at you, where is the effing Bojangles biscuits you were supposed to bring her the night before and you haven't got it. Now you have to put on pants and the last thing you want to do is put on pants. I think that...
I'm really going to miss you on the CBS Morning News.
I'm just saying, Derek. That is Carolina Hurricanes fandom.
Here's the thing, Mike. I don't think I could argue that, but I can't endorse it. Like,
you flip the sexes. I mean,
No. It has nothing to do with that. It's just, I can't really follow that train of logic.
Okay, you're from Ohio. Make the girlfriend a second cousin.
Says the man from West Virginia.
Exactly.
that'd be the first cousin.
So hot.
Let's move right the hell on.
Fine, whatever.
I think the little white pill is taking control of this podcast.
The people voted.
Yes, the people did vote, and we thank you for it. And Mike, I think the real reason that you didn't get the Bojangles biscuit was because there was no power play goal.
Blame Justin Falk.
Always blame Justin Falk. Hey, Mike, let's open up the mailbag a little bit, shall we?
Okay.
Sorry, I caught you mid sip of water.
Let's go to that cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get some. Cheat mail. Derek?
Yes, Mike.
Next week, special acoustic fan version of the Cheat Mail song.
I look forward to that.
As do I.
This one, let's start off with perhaps one of my favorite Cheat Mail questions that I've ever seen.
Okay.
This comes to us from Jen at NHL History Girl, as referenced in the very beginning of this podcast. And for those of you who are also wrestling fans, you'll love this question. If you're not a wrestling fan, bear with us. If Becky Lynch played hockey, what position would she play and why?
Okay, so this one's easy. Except I have to know what team Becky Lynch is playing for. Is Becky Lynch playing for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yes.
Okay, so Becky Lynch is a first line winger.
Okay.
Because Becky Lynch is Chad LaRose. Becky Lynch has been and will be always consistently overslotted, she will be beloved by the fan base for no real reason except for the fact was she was good a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And then the coaching staff will overslot her. People will eventually be disappointed. And then she'll be really good. And then she'll get demoted. But then she'll get brought up. And then she'll end up being, you know, building decks in Apex.
I have kind of a similar answer.
Okay.
Backup goalie.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, she's great. And you see her a handful of times. You're like, man, she's really awesome. And then you see a lot of her and you go, yeah, you know, she's fine. But I liked her better when she was playing 30% of the time. So I'm going to say she's a backup goalie. Mike, what you got for me?
This one comes from Foster Knight at Twitter. He is at My Name is Foster. In the near future, 5 years or more, do you see the Canes being as dominant as the Penguins are now?
No, because we will not have two of the best four or five centers in the world.
Also, the Penguins not currently dominant.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, yeah. So I will say yes, because we will be good, but I do not believe we will be dominant, because we will be on the downswing from our 2018-2019 Stanley Cup victory.
I can dig it. Mike, this comes to us from our friend Meg at Love and Hydrogen.
Ooh, I like her.
Please ask hashtag drugged Mike which elf is the best elf.
Buddy.
Hmm?
Buddy.
Yeah. What's your favorite color?
Candy.
That is correct.
Do you know Santa?
Santa!
I know him! Derek, this one coming from Al Hood. He is at Al B. Hood. When the NHL goes to 32 teams, should they adopt a baseball NFL model of conferences, meaning Carolina and Nashville can finally be in the same division?
As you mentioned earlier, hell yeah.
Yes.
The more Carolina and Nashville back-to-back or intra-division games, rivalry games, if you will, would be a wonderful thing.
Maybe we can actually play on Wednesday night on NBCSN.
I think right now we could play the Coyotes, and it would be as good of a rivalry as half of those games.
You're not wrong.
This is from Chance of Playoffs at C Showers. That is not C-E-H-O-S-H-O-W-E-R-S. It is the letter C, S-H-A-U-E-R-S. A question covered by Mike Smith on Kane's Cast that I've got to know. Ham versus turkey.
Ooh. It really varies. As a general rule, ham. Because ham can be countryfied mm-hmm. and put on a biscuit. Mm-hmm. And that is delicious. I've never had countryfied turkey. And that sounds awful. Although, turkey is the main ingredient in turducken, which is also delicious. Versatility, ham wins hands down. If I've got one game and I want Scott Walker to sucker punch somebody, I'm going turkey, because one day a year, turkey's amazing.
Ham is more versatile. I will absolutely agree with you on that one. Turkey, I think, makes a better sandwich. I like sliced turkey or turkey breast. But if you're just comparing the meats straight up, honey baked ham is a more delicious meat than turkey meat.
Agreed. Yeah. And again, I'm a big fan of the meats. Derek, this one comes from our buddy Dame. He is at Lion Tamer 80, and he is the voice of the new Cheat Mail song, which will be premiering next week. If Dane is with his son and he's decorating his Christmas tree with Kane's ornaments, he wants to know which Kane is the tree topper, which Kane is the nutcracker, and Ooh. Which Kane is the ugly ornament you hide in the back of the tree.
Oh, God. I mean, Sebastian Aho is the tree topper. I think that's pretty much a given.
Okay.
The nutcracker. Right now, it's Scott Darling, because people are putting small, hard things in his five hole.
Oh, well played, sir. Well played.
And the ugly ornament you hide in the back of the tree? It's our buddy Klaus.
Das Klaus Dahlbeck. I like that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right. God, I saw one earlier. There was an F. Mary Kill, and I can't find it. Here we go. From Dan McLaughlin. He asked, in our opinion, how does this team play differently on the road versus PNC? That's the less fun question. No offense, Dan.
Okay, let's answer that. Let's answer that question first.
Okay.
I think the Canes...
You're a stickler.
I think the Canes are very matchup driven on the road, whereas at home they play more of their game. I think on the road, Bill Peters is very focused on the matchups, and I think that has served us well, particularly in the second period of many games where we have the long change. So I think that's the biggest difference, is the focus on matchups. I could be completely wrong, but I'm good at making stuff up, so I'm going to go with that.
That sounds good. And then the F, Mary, kill. Fried turkey, smoked turkey, turkey in the oven.
Ooh. Might go a little controversial here, Derek. I'm marrying that roast turkey. Because you know why? I know it's going to be consistent every single time.
Yep.
I'm going to roll around in the most carnal fashions with a smoked turkey. Because it is delicious. I don't want it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a little bit of it, and I want it every now and then. I want to have it, and I want it to be gone. Smoked turkey sticking around in your fridge for 2 or 3 days makes your entire makes everything in your fridge kind of smell a little and taste a little smoky, and just makes things weird.
More pervasive aroma. Smoked meats or Chinese food in your fridge?
Oh, smoked meats.
Okay.
If smoked properly.
Okay.
Which means, unfortunately, we have to murder the fried turkey, which a lot of folks are big fans of, but it's expensive. It could burn your house down, and basically it is the Left Eye Lopez of turkey meat.
All right. So Andre Rison is not having it anymore.
God, I hope not.
I agree with you on one of them.
Okay.
That I am marrying the oven roasted turkey.
Okay.
Like you said, it's reliable. It's classic. It's great. Where I start to disagree is I'm going to F the fried turkey.
Okay. I mean, everybody's got their own kinks. I get it.
And I'm killing the smoked, because while smoked meats are fine, I don't want that much of them. And of the three, like, that's the one I want the least. So, sorry, smoked turkey. You gots to go.
I would expect that from you. Smoked meats win national championships in college football.
Are we going down that road?
I don't know. I'm just looking to throw stuff out here. I'm 40 minutes into this ride. Yeah. We're almost done. Thanks for cheat mail questions. Great cheat mail questions
those
this
were
week.
Good. And once again, further proof that if you ask us an F, Mary, kill question, we go answer it.
Particularly if it's an F, Mary, kill around food. If it's F, Mary, kill around people, we're less likely to answer it.
Yes. Things F, Mary, kill, awesome. People F, Mary, kill, questionable.
I saw an F, Mary, kill on cocktails today on Facebook, which I thought was rather interesting, and they kind of did. It was shoot, sip, toss, or something like that. Anyway, it was rather interesting. Yeah. It was rather interesting. I enjoyed it. But Derek, speaking of shoot, sip, toss, you've got a little beer to sip and toss back here from our good friends at Bottle Mix.
Oh, that I do. So I stopped into Bottle Mix on Small Business Saturday.
Where is Bottle Mix again?
They are up on Creedmoor Road, North Raleigh, about a couple miles north of the mall, about a mile south of 540. If you know where Briggs and Margo's, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts there, and a Wendy's out front.
It's also where the Moe's was, where Justin Falk scored or filmed his famous queso commercial.
Yes.
Yes.
It is in that whole shopping center, Brennan Station, I think it's called. Stopped in there on Small Business Saturday, went and said hey to Bruce, and, you know, I had to pick up some beers to go watch Ohio State beat Michigan. So while I was in there, they had a delightful selection of things, but one of these really caught my eye, and especially for just like a couple bucks a bottle. From New Belgium, this is New Belgium, their Belgian Reserve Sour Saison. So, you know, New Belgium has their typical line of beers that you'll see in the Folly Packs, and they do some different seasonal releases as well, and they're almost always really good beers. Then they have their Lips of Faith series, which are a little bit more of a splurge. They're typically in bombers, but sometimes I think they're now coming in smaller bottles, but not necessarily the type of beer that you're going to want to drink every day just based on the price of those. So this is kind of splitting the difference, but it's really, really reasonably priced. I think it's about a couple bucks for a bottle. Anyway, Sour Saison, it's described as a blended barrel-aged farmhouse ale that it said it was deftly crafted over 15 months. This intriguing blend of farmhouse ale and barrel-aged golden sour delivers esters of sweet honeydew melon, perfectly balanced with wild sour complexity. 7% alcohol for a Sour Saison. The packaging's really nice on it, and I was like, heck. New Belgium makes good stuff. I like their sour series.
They've been delivering some really great beers out to the Section 328 tailgates.
Absolutely. So let's give this a shot, right? So far, I am not disappointed in any way, shape, or form. because I love sours. I like saisons. And when they work well together, they can just be a really enjoyable sipper. This beer, first and foremost, fails the Mike Flanagan light test with flying colors. It pours a kind of a light straw golden color, a little bit of a really crisp white bead that sits around the top there. But the aromas on it, like I said, it's that, you know, I don't know that I get a ton of honeydew melon. I do get some melon, but that's not my favorite of the fruits. But there's that like funk, that farmhousey, not quite sharpness, but still a little bit rounded. But you can tell it's got a little twing to it.
Uh-huh.
In the best way possible. If you enjoy sours, you enjoy saisons in that farmhousey style. It's delicious, Mike. I don't get much booziness from it. I think that's to be expected at a 7% beer. If this were higher, I'd say I'd get more. Sour, I wouldn't know that I call it sour so much as that more of a funky saison. But truly a delicious beer for, you know, it's a little north of maybe a $10 six-pack or so. I would drink these a lot. They are good in fall. I could see this being really good. If you're still holding on to leftovers, let's say you wanted to try your own F. Mary Kill between smoked turkey, roast turkey, and fried turkey. I think this could go well with like a stuffing or a turkey sandwich or, you know, food in general. Because saisons and Belgian beers typically go really good with food. So stop in Bottle Mix, check it out, ask for Dustin. He will point you in the direction of this beer. And if he's not there, there's also the little Section 328 logo that they place in front of whatever beer we review on the podcast each week, which is awesome of them. And if you're not feeling a beer that day, see Jack. He is taller and more bearded than Dustin is, and he can point you to some awesome wines.
Well, and if you've not had the chance to come out to Bottle Mix, we have a special event coming up. I believe we firmed up the dates this evening. Make plans the evening of December 28th. We will be recording Cheaters Never Win live at Bottle Mix. So we would like all of you, our friends, to come out. Maybe somebody in the crowd, maybe we do a raffle and somebody picks out what our review beer of the evening will be. I'm sure we're going to have some giveaways. I'm sure the folks at Bottle Mix will make it a memorable night for all of us, and we are going to have a phenomenal time. So December 28th, make your plans to come out to North Raleigh again, Brennan Station, right off Creemore Road, couple miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall, mile south of 540. Join us there for what will be one of the first live Cheaters Never Wins in Raleigh in quite some time.
And they have 10 beers on tap, so you can drink during the podcast too.
Oh, the expectation is to show up, drink during the podcast. Derek, I'm going to go ahead and call this. We haven't talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Live cheat mail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Live cheat mail is a thing that's happening.
We'll call on people like it's a high school U.S. history class.
You in the back. You, the hippie in the back corner.
Something you want to share with the class there, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. Be like,
is that a note? Is that a note you're passing?
It's a note from Pat Clark with, you know, X's and O's, X's and O's diagrams.
These guys with mics suck.
These guys are awful. But hopefully by then my knee's feeling better, because if we have to reproduce this podcast in the state that I've been doing this podcast, one of us is going to have to drive, because both of us will not be driving home for Bottle Mix, because they have way too many delicious beers. This might be one of those evenings where we need to have one of the more, shall we say, responsible members of the 328 staff drive us home.
Or Uber,
or one of those other ride-sharing services, in case anybody else would like to, you know, sponsor the podcast. Looking at you, Lyft. Derek, this has been fun.
Shane Willis,
really good at the hockeys, also really good at telling stories about pranks. Me, really bad about taking Vicodin and telling stories of, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. And you, really good at reviewing beer.
Decent.
Hopefully the Carolina Hurricanes are as good on their West Coast road trip as we think we are doing this podcast, because then they will come back a solid 500.
Okay.
I mean, because we're kind of okay.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment of the team right now.
If you think we're okay, head over to iTunes, leave a review on the Cheaters Never Win podcast or Stitcher or Google Play, whatever your platform of choice is. You can find us over on the Twitters. We are at @section_328.
Respect the underscore.
You can find this, you can also find this podcast on Section 328. You can also find it over on Sports Channel 8. You can find it a little bit of everywhere. We appreciate everybody who listens and shares the podcast. If you really enjoy the podcast, as always, you can head over to section328.com and click on the buy on Amazon button as you're buying all of your holiday gifts this year. It won't cost you an extra dime, but it'll throw a couple of extra cents into the Section 328 coffers and will allow us to continue to do more really cool things like donate a basket, buy tickets, and be a charitable sponsor to Friday night's Triangle Sled Hockey Association casino night.
I wish I could be there, but you're going to be there. You're going to have a hell of a good time. Buddy Tom that we mentioned earlier will be there. You have confirmed you will not be pranking him.
I will not be pranking Tom. But again, we appreciate everything that has been given to us via this podcast over this year. So this is our opportunity to hopefully give back a little bit. And we'd love to see a lot of you there because, yes, we will intentionally lose our poker chips to you guys in a heads-up battle.
You're a good man, Mike.
Yeah, that's what we do. Derek, Carolina Hurricanes still down 2-1, 17 minutes left in the third period in Columbus. I think we need to go watch the last of this game. I'm predicting a 3-2 win because that's what Shane Willis said. He's a former NHLer, and who am I to deny the man?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, we should get out of here. So until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
This has been a hell of a lot of fun, y'all. We're out of here.
Whee!